Hey there, welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
And I'm Judy Nathans.
And today's August 3rd, 2021.
Who would believe it? I know, yeah. I just feel like it could be 2020, right?
Yeah.
The way things are going.
In one of our recent shows, I said, and it's January. I actually gave the wrong date.
Did you?
Brilliant, yeah. All right. I think people will forgive, yeah.
I didn't.
So anyway, this is like midsummer, which in terms of all the civic landscape of Cambridge is kind of the quiet time.
But it's been busy. So there's been a lot of meetings.
Yeah, I mean, normally it's a quiet time
because right.
It used to be that everybody were going away to a house on the Cape.
Oh, you know, come
so
on.
They. So
they all have houses on the Cape.
No, I'm talking. It used to be that way.
Really, I didn't know that.
Ooh. Well, only the CCA counselors.
Okay.
Just I'm ragging on them a bit, you know. But anyway, that's when people would take off, and they didn't. Okay. They tried very hard not to schedule much. This particular group has scheduled committee meetings.
Yeah, they're just here. Yeah.
And some of them are by necessity. For example, mm-hmm. there's multiple meetings.
Actually, the city manager.
One tomorrow, another in a week from now. On the search process for the city manager. Yeah. I'm a little unclear really where they stand. They passed some orders just saying, well, yeah, we're gonna hire a search firm, we're gonna do that, but I didn't get any sense of a timeline.
Can you remind me again, what does the city council control in terms of, is it city manager, city clerk, and is there a third one?
Yes, there are technically three, but practically a little bit more than that. So technically, it's the city council. The only positions they directly hire are the city manager, the city clerk, and the city auditor.
Okay, not the police commissioner, right?
No, not at all. Ooh. By tradition, I would say over at least some number of years now, the city auditor also kind of works with the finance department. So that primarily, I would say, the city auditor is more like a regular staff person within the city, but you see him always. It's Jim Monagle. You'll see him at the budget hearings, and you know he'll be up at the front of the meeting as a regular participant during the budget season.
His name is Monagle or Monagle?
Monagle. Yeah.
Oh, Monagle with a G, not like Monagle with the guy from Peanuts.
And his son is a pretty good home run hitter, actually, at the old time baseball games. Yeah.
Is that going to happen?
Good player. I don't know.
I haven't heard anything about it, and it is August 3rd.
I would have probably heard now whether they were going to have it again.
I bet they won't because of everything happening. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, so it goes. Now, I say officially they only have three official hires, but it just sort of is semi-tradition when we've had a deputy city manager. We currently actually don't have that position filled.
Yeah, they didn't fill Lisa Peterson, right?
Right. So it's often the city council sort of goes through a process as though they're choosing it or approving it. But in fact, they really aren't, you know, because it's not in the charter. So if it ain't in the charter, buddy, you ain't hiring the deputy city manager. The other thing is that indirectly, they have a lot of say-so over who their personal city council aides get to be. So
that makes sense. I mean, they want to work with someone they can work with.
Exactly. But they're not technically hiring them, but they're pretty much saying hire.
Well, it's funny. This is sort of jumping ahead, but you know, the attorney general came back with her comment on the charter review and some of the things that the council wants to do. And it says, go ahead.
Right. Yeah. I personally question the attorney general's wisdom in some of this.
You think it goes against the charter, some of it?
I don't believe there was sufficient homework done. For example, the Acts of 1921 is actually basically laid out the process for choosing members of the Cambridge Election Commission. Those are city manager appointees where the individual the Republican City Committee, what there is of it, and the Democratic City Committee basically nominate three. They basically vet people and say, these are the three from which you must choose.
Uh-huh.
And then the manager gets to choose. So now what are you telling me that because the election commissioners are appointees of the city manager off of a finite list, that they are then subject to approval by the city council?
Well, but wait a minute, doesn't it differentiate between a board? Wait, the city manager, you're right, has say so about all the boards and commissions.
That's right. He is the appointing authority. But the, I should go back and read the full opinion of the Attorney General. But honestly, how do you leave that out?
If it's been approved, is it going to actually be a ballot?
Yes, it's going to be on a ballot now. You know,
The election commission has to get that in writing.
Right.
That's going to be so confusing to people.
Well, you know, what I don't like is the fact that, you know, it's a very short timeline, and there are some nuances and subtleties to this that I think people would need to know. And there's, you know, the mayor and Councillor Nolan pat themselves heavily on the back for the wonderful and thorough process that led up to this point, when in fact there was no process at all.
Yeah, I don't think people.
It was a couple of Zoom meetings that were poorly advertised and poorly attended.
I know.
And then some city council. And
it's been
said,
the summer, and crazy.
This is the additional power we want, so give it to us. Put it on the ballot. End of story.
Wait, you know, isn't this? Have we ever had a municipal ballot question?
In terms of the charter.
In terms of anything.
Yes. Oh, yeah. What? But usually, they're not
What's
binding.
The last... for non-binding. Example, is this binding?
Yes.
Oh,
it would be binding.
Yeah. I think this is dangerous.
Well, you know,
because people don't know about it, and that means that the election commission is going to have language like they do in the state ones.
The language is already
what a yes vote means and what a no vote means, right?
That's right, and I'm sure somebody like Councillor Nolan will write up the pro side of this. I'm not sure who will write the nay side of this. Maybe could end up being me.
They really with all. This to me is like the curb cut. Well, it's a little different, but like, I don't think curb cuts should be ever come before the council. I'm sorry. You have all these city departments that we pay people to evaluate these things. Why do they get a say so about it?
Well, the city council could actually change that if they really, really wanted to.
Well, they should, for God's
sake. Just like, for example, a special permit authority.
Yes.
Probably for the most part could be back at the council, but they basically gave authority to the planning board,
and they probably hate that. But the point is, they should not. Yeah, they don't know.
I think that's a good thing. But
it's very political, and it shouldn't be politicized.
Right, under state law, like the Cambridge License Commission, if there were no other laws to the contrary,
right,
it might be that every time somebody wanted a liquor license, they'd have to go before the city council. But that was. I think they may have done that through the legislature to have that established so that the authority now rests with the license commission.
Okay, but wait a minute. So speaking of the license commission, are there people on the commission that get appointed by the city manager?
The thing is, if this is done by statute, you will actually, now that's a great question.
Yeah, I want to know that.
My Lord, that's a good one. You got me on that, Ms. Nathan.
Good. Okay. All right, tell me, what's
under
going on
under the letter
here?
Of the law, what's proposed for the ballot question, then the city council would have approval over city manager appointments to boards and commissions.
Okay.
Guess who serves on the license commission? Well, there's the executive director.
Yeah,
and then there's the police commissioner and the fire chief.
Well, so they can't say anything about them because those are already but they're paid. Boards of commissions.
I don't think anybody will challenge it.
Okay,
but you're being. I'm just basically saying
the letter of the law. I see.
The city councilors and the attorney general are sloppy. I mean, really sloppy.
You say it, Robert. Go ahead.
The fact of the matter is that, the members of the license commission are in fact appointed by the city manager. So this now can be interpreted as saying that, in fact, they are now subject to city council approval.
I wonder if Maura Healy even knows how many
I wonder if
commissions and boards we have in Cambridge. I know what.
I don't even know if Maura Healy read this or it was just basically given to a staff person, and they just pro forma passed it back. You know, but let me just say, and again, I don't want to obsess on this particular issue, but there are three questions that will appear on the ballot, separate questions
on this issue.
On the charter.
On the charter review. Okay, right.
Right. One basically mandates every decade, or at least every decade, there's a charter review.
That's fine.
Yeah. Benign.
Yeah.
And I want to point out, you didn't need to change the charter to make that so. the council has, it's sort of like that scene at the end of Wizard of Oz. You know, you just tap your heels together three times, Dorothy. You've always had the power to go back to Kansas.
See, there you
the
go.
Council always had the authority to basically review the charter every 10 years without changing the planning charter. Guess what else? They always had the authority. This is the second question, the other question. They have always had the authority to mandate an annual review of the city manager without changing the charter.
Interesting.
They chose not to do it, but they've always had the authority to do it, right? I mean, so after maybe all, those, they hire them, they so can wait, require it.
But maybe those were just thrown in a sense, that makes that third one look sort of, you know, not so serious.
I like your theory, Dr. Nathan.
I'm not saying it's nefarious. I just think it muddies it in a way. I mean,
you know, basically it's sort of like the way you write a horoscope. What you do is you basically say two things that are true for everybody, and then you go out on a limb with one. Right. And then people will, you'll get two out of three, and they'll say
that
it's perfect.
That sounds good. They must all be good. Yeah.
There's actually a name for that principle and that technique. So in this case, you basically got two questions that are absolutely benign. Yeah. And then the third one, which is far, far more substantial than anybody is realizing just
now. Too much.
You know, I'll give you one fine example, not to get me going on this, but you got me going on this. Okay, so last night at the city council meeting, there was a landmarking order for 28 Union Street.
Right.
Which is I think it's Alberta Scott was a important African-American person who lived in this house. It also happens to be the house where my friend Ann lived.
Yeah, you mentioned.
And she sold it this past year, right? So anyway, it was put up for landmarking status. So it had to go through a review with the historical commission. They came back with this wonderful report.
Yeah.
You know, and which has said yes, this is we should make this landmark status, and and it doesn't really put a lot of restrictions on it. But there you go. Okay. Well, guess who speaks up at the city council meeting last night during public comment? Christopher Schmidt from ABC, objecting to landmarking status of 28 Union Street because this sort of thing here is going to block the residential development, and it's going to make it less possible to create greater and greater density here and there, and basically criticizing the process of historical landmarking status. There was, I looked at today in the minutes, there was a letter also to the city council from the co-chair of A Better Cambridge named Alan Sadin, basically saying, well, based on this shabby little criteria, three quarters of all houses in Cambridge could be landmarked. And don't you realize how much this is going to stop the redevelopment of the city? And now, why am I mentioning this now? Well, if you give the city council, this is really a message to Councilor Nolan in particular.
Okay.
If you give the city council the say-so in every single board and commission appointment, then are you telling me the next time the city manager appoints somebody who's a really expert in historic preservation and who has voted in favor of historic preservation rather than redevelopment, you're telling me that the ABC people aren't going to have objections and are going to make their feelings known to, quote, their counselors in order to make sure that nobody is appointed to the historical commission unless they're perfectly willing to allow teardowns, that's my fear.
Yeah, this same group is against conservation districts. They're against, anything that tries to preserve history of any sort because they see it as an impediment to development.
And I am not against density, but I think that there's opportunistic and sensible, clever ways to do it. I mean, Central Square, you could put more housing units in Central Square in ways that would have a much better impact than so many of these other proposals that I've heard. Yeah. You know, but this is the path that nobody seems to want to talk about this yet. But there are so many downsides.
But let me ask you something. You were on the recycling advisory committee, it does get it finally approved by the city manager, but does the department heads of these commissions, like the ones, they look at these applications first, don't they?
Yeah, okay. So that's just a practice. It's not a requirement. I think that I would actually be
they want to know if there's some expertise in this, because the city manager can't expect to know expertise in it. They take the recommendation, I think, from the departments, don't they?
I think they do. And in most respects, I think that's a very good practice. So somebody's going to serve on the Historical Commission.
They should have some.
I would be much happier to know that people on the Historical Commission actually said, oh, this is a good choice, you know, or this person should be reappointed. This
or they've done renovations, or they've done this, or that. I mean, it just has
exactly.
You know.
Yeah, so I do like that. I mean, on the other hand, you know, and I don't want to be too mean-spirited about this, but basically you're not going to be on the Cambridge Bicycle Committee unless you agree with the person on the city staff in terms of her perspective about what bicycle infrastructure is supposed to be. So in other words, if the city manager simply defers to city staff, then basically the city staff becomes the appointing authority, and that may lead to a very one-sided viewpoint. And so in situations like that, I just wish the city manager would take a more aggressive role in it all to make sure that you're actually getting good representation, one, and good balance of opinion, two, you know.
Okay.
I mean, some advisory committees, it's not an issue. I mean, I think we joked and said the advisor, we don't need to have on the recycling advisory committee people who are dead set against recycling, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, so representativeness is not the sole primary or primary criteria
committees. We do have one person that represents more of an industrial point of view, like has worked in polymers and all that, which I wish we had more of that, because we tend to have a lot of aspirational people that, it's...
Well, you know, some city boards are wisely, when they're created by ordinance, as most of them are, there are actually stipulations within the ordinance as to the representation on the committee. Now, sometimes that's good. You know, and sometimes that's actually can be a real bit of a hindrance. You know, so for example, they maybe for good reason, but they said that on the Central Square Advisory Committee, on which I serve, the chair must be an architect. Right. I thought, well, that's weird. I mean, I don't mind. I mean, I love architects, right? But but the thing is that if you only had one person currently on there who was an architect, then there's not a lot of choice as to who's going to be chair, you know, because it's a little too restrictive, right? But you know, but there are other ones where I think you know there you have to have like on the Central Square Advisory Committee, you have to have representatives, four business representatives, and then representatives from each of the neighborhoods abutting Central Square, you know, and I think adding one other person.
Well, so you know, there is a pedestrian committee. So I guess if you were, you know, had comments about bicycles, you could serve on the pedestrian committee because, you know.
Well, my recollection and, you know, and Astrid Dodds can probably correct me on this one if she's listening, which she probably isn't, but it's that the pedestrian committee actually came into existence in part because in the early days, the bicycle committee was asserting itself rather aggressively.
Well, there you go. Said, see, that's
what about pedestrians?
Proves my
point. So they created a pedestrian committee. So, you know.
Which is interesting because I know an avid cyclist who actually doesn't serve on the cyclist. She serves on the pedestrian committee. So.
Well, actually what's happened now is the bicycle committee is actually not the most aggressive of the bicycle entities in the city. It's this Cambridge Bicycle Safety, and they've become more outspoken. They're the ones who seem to be doing drafting all of the legislation. They're the ones who are endorsing candidates. They are the ones who are basically getting, you know, some city council candidates.
But that's not a city. That's not a city.
It's not
advisory.
It's not.
So it's different.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you know,
that's
so,
true of a lot of things now that there's other groups forming that are getting a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Okay. So we spent a lot of time on that, but that was important, and I think we still
it
need to
important.
Talk about that.
Yeah.
Because people aren't going to know. Yeah.
Right. So I think maybe actually be good right at this moment here just to mention a couple of very significant passings, right?
Okay.
I think the you know in the since our last show we've actually had several important. Well, there's actually been some people who have died violent deaths that was the subject of a lot of angst and city council orders and initiatives that are people trying to get going to address people dying from gun violence.
Yeah.
Right. There was a rally at City Hall last night. There were actually multiple rallies just by accident between people who had there for certain environmental themes. And then one that was, you know, organized much later, having to do
more impromptu
in response to.
I didn't have a permit, but then it was just, yeah, it was a whole thing anyway.
Yeah, but you know, City Hall lawn is City Hall lawn, right? It turned into a kind of an unfortunate, almost like accusatory.
The optics were really bad.
Yeah,
really bad,
yeah. Which only made me think of a time, which mm-hmm. believe it or not, was now 30 years ago, 31 years ago, when we were organizing these Earth Day events in Cambridge. And, you know, really putting a lot of effort into doing that. I forget whether that was the first year we did it or the second mm-hmm. or third year we did it. And we were putting a lot of effort into organizing these things. And then the Gulf War number one broke out.
92 or three.
Somewhere around, it could have been 89 into 90, actually. Or 90, something.
You're yeah. right. Well,
I don't remember now.
Senior Bush was still president.
But what I remember about that was that, so there we were, good little budding environmentalists. I was mm-hmm. recycling boy, you know,
right.
and, you know, pushing
right.
environmental stuff.
Right.
And then meanwhile, there's this major protest going on saying no war for oil was the theme. And
oh,
it was all
gosh.
About,
I
you know, U.S.
that,
intervention
Robert.
In the yes. Gulf and, yes. you know, in Kuwait. And all yeah. of that, and why are you weenies worrying about recycling and stuff
wow.
when there's wars going on and whatever?
Wow.
And we all were basically being told to get go away because you know don't you realize
yeah.
your issues have now been eclipsed by a far greater thing?
Yeah.
You know, nobody planned the war. You know,
right.
just like nobody planned the gun violence that has recently cropped up. Now, I think from the optics point of view, maybe there are some things that the environmental advocates could have done just to sort of make things appear nicer or whatever.
Well, I had read somewhere that they had offered not to have it, to reschedule, and that they were encouraged not to do that.
They're going to have another bite at the apple because the order around which some of that was centered, which was
charter
something
writing,
about trees
right?
as infrastructure.
Charter write it by Toomey, yes?
By Toomey,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
No, I don't know what Toomey's intention was. I don't know. I don't care so
well,
much.
Well, he's not
but,
a big fan.
Yeah, but when they come back in September, yeah. you know, assuming that not every tree in the city's been knocked down, they'll have another opportunity.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying that for whatever reason, they did continue. And I think it would have been better if they had rescheduled it at another time. But I think
maybe so.
I don't know.
Maybe so. But as I say, it's sort of like we could have rescheduled Earth Day in 1990, but we didn't. So. Sometimes you just gotta play
well,
the hand you're dealt.
I think Earth Day was a whole yeah. I mean whatever. Okay, you're.
Well, back then it was a revival.
So I understand.
So
all right.
The two significant passings.
So Robert Moses, right?
Yeah, I'll mention first. Priscilla McMillan
was an yes.
activist in Cambridge for a long, long many years, but she also had this rather remarkable distinction of
yeah.
being a person who had interviewed Lee Harvey Oswald.
That's
back
right.
When he was
before
in Moscow.
Before he became infamous, right, yeah.
Yeah, and also had been present for interviews with John F.
Yep,
Kennedy.
I know.
So
amazing.
She's like, to best of anybody's knowledge, she's the only one who actually personally met both
yeah.
men, right?
But then later,
She wrote a book about
because she later then
Marina
lived
Oswald.
The wife.
Yeah.
She, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, she lived a good life and she was, mm-hmm. her house was by all accounts, kind of a real mm-hmm. kind of
like a
coming
salon,
together
yeah,
for
yeah.
many people in Cambridge. So that
yeah.
was a very significant passing.
Mm-hmm.
Another very significant passing, especially, and I'll say this as a person who's a mathematician too,
yeah.
was the passing of Robert Moses, Bob Moses. It, you know, there's always the confusion there is the infamous Robert Moses.
I know, because you think
fame,
of New York and the...
And then there's our Bob yeah. Moses,
right.
who was a civil rights icon, really. You know, working, you know, through civil rights marches back and, you know, I'll let others detail all of that, but
yeah.
but after that he came back to Cambridge and he was teaching I think it was the Grammar
Harvard?
Park School or
oh,
something.
He taught at the Grammar?
Yeah he was teaching in the schools in Cambridge.
I didn't know that.
And then he basically said the next civil rights struggle is basically things like math literacy so that people can get on a good road toward a good education so that they can actually stand on their own 2 feet. You know, the road to economic empowerment is, and he saw that very legitimately as the next
right.
big battle in civil rights. I wish more people kind of looked at the world the way Bob Moses
mm-hmm.
did,
mm-hmm.
that regarded, I think, thank God his mm-hmm. his children are carrying on the tradition.
Are they? Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it was a thing about Math Talk that was actually at Magazine Beach
oh,
where
is
they
that
had
part
done
of
some
the,
that.
Right.
Organized by his son.
I didn't know
yeah.
that.
Okay. So the tradition continues, and I think that's really great. But you know, people can name buildings after people, they can name street corners after people, but honestly, the greatest memorial anybody could make for Bob Moses is to take giant leaps forward in making sure every kid coming out of Cambridge Public Schools, you know, white or black or anyone, that they actually make strides so that they can actually, you know, have a good life.
I know we talked about this before the show started, but so how much of what he aspired to or wanted to see in education happened in our schools?
The project and the name which is associated with
Algebra Project
is the Algebra Project. And I've known people who've worked in the Algebra Project.
Okay.
But the it's more of an organizing principle than it is a specific curriculum.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But it does have specific recommendations that basically tries to institutionalize things like early introduction to algebra so that, you know, I mean, you don't want to have a situation where basically the well-off kids have all taken their, you know, they've all advanced through their mathematics education so that they're taking their AP courses in high school and they're getting a leg up on into getting into colleges and beyond. Yeah. Right. Whereas some other kids who are less advantaged are basically just, they didn't even know. So the next thing you know, they're struggling to catch up.
Right.
You know, so I think it's an important ideal is to actually get these kids introduced to things like mathematics at the right level. And I'm not saying it has to be at the seventh grade or the eighth grade or whatever, but it's more the ideal than it is the specifics of the curriculum. The way I see this is that it's as much about priorities as it is anything else, really. Mm. You know. So so anyway, fare thee well, Bob Moses. You're a good man.
Okay. So, all right. So in the next segment, because we're going to be closing in a few seconds, we'll talk about maybe the meeting last night and some other things that happened.
And we can catch up on the final list of candidates who will actually be on the ballot.
That's true, because it's final now. You're right.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
right. So we will see you in the next segment. Okay,
bye-bye. Cambridge Inside Out.